One of the areas that I'm always excited about is always the new year. It's an opportunity to set goals and you know, we stretched, because everything that God does and anybody's going to ever accomplish anything effective in life is because they're going to learn to set goals. How many of you have watched any of the tennis this past year? Any of you watched Coco Golf? And she's a 15-year-old phenom. She came, her family's right here from St. John Parish. But let me just tell you, you know, just so you can see the importance of setting goals. She set a goal at 15 when she started the year. She was ranked 685 in the world. But she said, I want to break and be in the top 100 by the end of the year. And how many know, because she set a goal, she started out the year being ranked number 685, but by the end of the year, she was ranked number 68. See, that's what the power of setting goals. Come on, let's thank God for it. Listen, I just want you to know, it doesn't just work in sports. It works in every area of your life, spiritual, physical, relational, financial, vocational. Let me just, everything, let me just say, anybody who's going to ever be an effective Christian is going to be because he learns how to set goals in his life. And so we see here the Apostle Paul, probably one of the most amazing men in the Bible is the Apostle Paul. He accomplished more than probably anyone else in the New Testament. But one of the reasons why, because he was a person who learned to set goals. I want to read from Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. This is some of my favorite verses of scripture. He says it this way, brothers, he's talking about the sisters too. Look at somebody, he's talking about sisters too. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and stretching towards what is ahead, I press towards the goal. Say that. Say, I press towards the goal. Come on, look at somebody. Say, I press towards the goal. I want you to know, if you're not pressing towards something, you're just a wandering generality. I want you to know, God has a purpose for every one of our lives. God has a goal for every one of our lives. And he desires that we press towards the goal. Paul said, I press towards the goal, listen, to win the prize for which God, why every born-again believer who loves Jesus Christ need to set goals in their lives. First of all, why you and I need to set goals, because goals keep us moving forward, not backwards. Listen to what he said. I put the BBE version of the Bible said, I go forward to the mark, even the reward of the high purpose of God in Christ Jesus. Let me just tell you, goals keep you moving forward. They keep us from getting stuck in life. How many of you know life will present its share of setbacks, disappointments, hardships? Anybody ever had a setback? Raise your hand. Anybody ever had a disappointment? Raise your hand. Anybody ever experienced failure? Raise your hand. I want you to know, let me just tell you, in this life, life is going to present its share of setbacks, disappointment. It could be a relational setback. It could be a financial setback. It could be a health setback. But I want you to know, goals keep us moving forward, because when you have a goal, it keeps you moving, pressing towards something. And he said, I go forward towards the mark. Life brings its shares of disappointments and sorrows, but people who set goals learn to work through their disappointments. He said, forgetting what is behind me. Look at somebody and say, you got to forget the past. I want to tell you, if you live, you can wallow in, oh, well, you know, I went through a divorce. Oh, you know, I experienced this happen. Oh, you know, I was bankrupt. Oh, you know, if you get stuck in the past, you won't ever want to move forward. But you got to forget the past. Look at somebody and say, you got to forget the past. And a goal will help you move forward in life. Goals give me hope. Goals give me something to live for. I want you to know, a goal, the Bible says, This is why goals are so important. After Job experienced the loss of his fortune and the loss of his children, listen to what it says in the God's Word version of the Bible. He said, what strength do I have that I can go on hoping? What goal do I have that I want to prolong my life? In other words, because Job was so discouraged, he lost sight of a goal. Goals will help us press on and help us look forward. When we lose sight of our goals, we lose our strength. There are people that's not here today because you know why? They got stuck. They let disappointment, they let disillusionment, they let things trip them up. And I want you to know, this is why I often said, many of you start out the year, but sometimes because some people don't have a goal in life, they don't finish the year. I don't know about you, but I want to finish farther than when I started. Can I have any? How many want to finish strong? How many want to go further? How many want to do more for Jesus? Well, that's what goals will do. Do you know that they did a study of the people who went through the Holocaust? And he discovered this, that when they studied the survivors of the Holocaust, one of the common denominators of those who survived some of the worst atrocities possible was this. They had something to look forward to. They had a goal that kept them going when everyone else wanted to give up. A goal will keep you going when everyone wants to give up. The Bible says it this way in Proverbs 29:18. Without a vision, the people perish. I want you to know, you got to have a vision for your life. And if you don't have a vision for your life, you're going to just be a wandering generality. Life is too short to just waste it. I want you to know, the Bible says, listen, we need to not waste our lives. We need to live like a fool, but be wise and understand what the will of the Lord is. This life is short. And I want you to know that if you're going to make the most of your life, you need to set goals. Goals will keep you moving forward. Listen to what David said in Psalms 27. David said, I would have lost heart. The King James said, I would have fainted unless I believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. How many ever went through something? And I want you to know, it might have looked bleak, but I want you to know, when you got a goal, when you got a vision, it keeps you moving forward because you're reminded that God is the God of all hope. And I want you to know, if you got a hope in God, it doesn't matter how bleak it looks. It don't matter how bad it looks. God's going to see you through because God always ends on a positive. Somebody give God some praise. The Bible says he who began a good work, he's going to finish it. I don't care what you're going through right now. If you love the Lord, God's going to cause you to finish on a good note. That's what I love about the Lord, that I want you to know that God says, my plan for you, I don't care what it looked like. God says, this is what he said. I know the plans that I have for you, saith the Lord. Plans of good, say good, and not evil. Plans to give you a future and a hope. I want y'all to know that God, I don't care what's happening in our world, God's plan for you is good. God, you got to understand the context of Jeremiah 29:11. They had just been taken captive into Babylon. Everything looked hopeless, and it looked like it was bleak. They were a conquered people, and yet God said to people who felt hopeless, who felt like everything was lost, God said, but don't give up. I got a plan for you. I got a future for you. Listen to me. And when you love the Lord, God said, I don't know care how bad it looks. I'm going to work it for your good. Somebody give God some praise in here. Oh, come on, give him some praise because he's working it for our good. Secondly, listen to me. Goals help me to focus on what is important. This is so important. Philippians 3:13 says, no, dear brothers and sisters, I'm reading out of the Living Bible. I have not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I want you to know, life presents its share of distractions. Life will present, you know, you can get so busy and you can be busy about so many things that you lose sight of the most important thing. Many of you know the story of Martha and Mary. Martha, Jesus came to their house, and Martha was so distracted. She was so busy about so many things, and Jesus said, "Martha, Martha, you are busy. You are distracted about so many things." Isn't it amazing? Jesus was right in the house, but she was so busy about cleaning. She was so listening to his word, and Jesus said, "Martha, you're busy about a lot of things, but one thing is needful, and Mary found it, and it will not be taken away from her." I want you to know, life is short. I wrote this down. Many of you know that all of America is amazing. It was stunned, shocked, in disbelief at the tragic death of Kobe Bryant, 41 years old, one of the most phenomenal athletes ever to play the game of basketball. All his wealth, all his fame, all his fortune could not stop the reality that all of us have a destination. The Bible tells us that this life is brief. And it's amazing as I listened to various athletes and celebrities as they reflected, realizing that they needed to change some things in their lives. That some of them realized that they've been living for the wrong thing. Some of them realize they've been focusing on the wrong thing. And I want you to know, goals will help us focus on what's the most important thing. I want you to know the most important thing in life is having a relationship with Jesus Christ and serving him. Can I have an amen? Many of you know the story, Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12, the Bible tells us about an American. How many of you know there was an American in the Bible? How do I know he was an American? He had so much stuff, he had to go to the storage place to put his stuff. Only in America that you know, one of the fastest growing businesses in America is the storage industry. We got so much stuff, we go pay people money to hold our stuff. Somebody just threw a rock at me, but I'm going to still preach it. We got so much stuff, we don't know what to do. And so this is how the story, I'm going to paraphrase. In Luke chapter 12, Jesus said that was a certain rich man. And he had so much stuff, he said, "This is what I'm going to do. Instead of giving it, instead of sharing, instead of finding somebody in need," he said, "No, this is what I'm going to do." He said, "Well, I'm going to tear down this barn, and I'm going to build a bigger barn so I can have so much stuff laid up for me, and I can say, so take it easy. You got enough retirement, you can relax now." And the Bible said that very night he died. Isn't that amazing? Stored up stuff, but he never got a chance to spend it. Listen what Jesus said about the man who lived for stuff. I'm reading out of Luke chapter 12, out of the Message Bible Living Bible verse 21. "Yes, a person is a fool who stores up earthly wealth and does not have a rich relationship with God." I've seen a lot of people got all kinds of goals, but if you don't have a goal to fulfill the purpose of God, to live for Jesus, you miss the whole purpose of life. And I want you to know, life is too short to miss the most important thing. The reason why Paul was so effective, because he wasn't distracted by the many things. He said, "This one thing I do." I want you to know, not these 50 things I do. We can get so distracted by the many things. But he said, "This one thing I do." I want you to know, there's only one thing that's so important to you and I, and that is to know the Lord Jesus Christ, to serve him, and to do his will. This is what Paul had one primary aim in life, and that is was to fulfill the vision and the purpose of God for his life. He was able to say it towards the end of his life, "O King Agrippa, I have not been disobedient to the heavenly vision." I want to ask you a question. Are you fulfilling the vision of God for your life? Just a thought. If you died right now, can you say, "I did everything in my power to fulfill the vision that God had for my life"? When you were born, God had a purpose. I want to add, we need goals in our life because goals keep us focused. Paul said it this way in 1 Corinthians 9. He said, "Listen, do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? run in such a way as to get the prize. In other words, you don't just get it. You don't go through life just without aimless. You got to run to win. This is what he said. Therefore, I do not run like a man running aimlessly. I do not fight like a man beating the air. No, I beat my body. I make it my slave so that after I preach to others, I won't be disqualified. Listen to what it says in God's word. He says it this way, God's word version of the Bible. So I run, but not without a clear goal ahead of me. So I box, but not as one who's shadow boxing. See, when we have a goal, we realize that, listen, I have an aim in life. I have a purpose. Goals help us to live effective. Goals help us to make the main thing the main thing. Look at somebody and say, keep the main thing the main thing. Come on, they didn't hear you. Tell somebody else. Say, keep the main thing the main thing. And I want you to know that why I believe all of us need to set goals is because goals help us to make sure we keep the main thing, the focus of our lives. I believe we need to set goals in five basic areas of our lives. Every year I set spiritual goals. That's my relationship with God. I make time, the first priority in the first part of my day, always I set a goal that I will spend time with the Lord. I set a goal to read through his word because I want to hear God's voice through his word. I want to hear him speak to me. I believe all you need to set a goal to daily have a time with God. I set spiritual goals so I have a goal to spend time with. I set relational goals. I want to be a good husband. Anybody want to be a good spouse? I want to be a good father. I want my wife tells me there's areas. I've been married 36 years, but she said, Neil, you still got to improve. They keep it real. Look at somebody and say, you got to keep it real. And so you see, a goal keeps me from stagnating. You know, some people say, well, listen, if I hadn't been a good husband by now, I ain't going to never be. No, you can always improve. You can always get better. You can always grow. Can I have an amen? I believe you could always be a better parent. I believe you could always improve in your relational life. So I set goals in relational life. I listen, my kids, they tell me how, they say, Dad, you know, they tell, every now and then I ask them, how was I as a father? I'm doing a better job as a grandfather. But they keep it real. There were areas that I did not, that I missed the mark. I fell short. I look back, I wish I would have been more affirming to my daughters. I wish I would have been more encouraging. I'm more of a drill sergeant, but I wish I would have been more encouraging and more affirming, and more believing. But it's not too late. You see, that's the good news. Do you hear me? That's the good news. It don't care how old you, as long as I got breath, I can improve. So I determined at 58, I'm going to be a better father than I was at 38. Somebody say amen. Amen. And goals. You need to set goals in your relational life. You need to set goals in your spiritual life. You need to set goals in your physical life. Say your body. You got this one and only body. And I want you to know that too often we don't appreciate our health until it's gone. But you got to take care of your body. Your body is the one thing. But and when you become a Christian, it don't belong to you. This is what Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? God, and you're not your own. You have been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. I try to eat right. I try to exercise. I try to rest. I try to do that because I have one body. And when this one wears out, it's over with. It's over with. The average person, average man in America lives about 70-something years. I'm 58. That means I got, at best, 20 years left. Time is ticking. That means I got to be about my big father's business. Now, God might be graceful. I might have 30 more. Might have 40 more. Come on, Jesus. Hey. But the reality is, whether you got 30, whether you got 20, whether you got 30, whether you got 40, the reality is we all die. And so we need to have goals so that we make what's important the most important thing. And lastly, as I close, I like this one most of all. Goals cause me to stretch my faith. I'm a faith man. I love taking risks. I was born for this thing. I love, listen to me, Paul said in Philippians 3, listen, the American Standard Version, brethren, I count not myself to lay hold of it, but there's one thing I do, forgetting the things which are behind, I stretch, listen, and stretching forward to the things which are before. Look at somebody, say stretch. Now listen, you can't sit down. I want everybody in this room, why don't you stand up, and I just want you to tell the person next to you, I got to stretch. Come on, just stretch it. Just stretch. Come on, just stretch a little bit. Come on, come on, come on. I want you to stretch. Come on, stretch. Come on, stretch your faith. Come on, come on, stretch. Come on. I believe that. Stretch. Listen to me. Hear me. Stretch. Stretch. Listen, why? Now I want to talk to you about what it means in the spirit. Because God wants us to stretch our faith. God wants us to stretch. Notice he said, I stretch towards the goal. Let me just tell you, if you are not attempting something that doesn't require you to stretch, that doesn't require you to take risk, then you're living too small. Did you hear what I said? Some of you, you're aiming too small. That's the greatest tragedy, is to go through life and aim too small. Nobody will be at the end of their lives and say, oh, I wish I would have, not stretched so big. I wish I would have not taken so many risks. You know what most people regret when they come to the end of their lives? They say, I wish I would have taken greater risk. I wish I would have attempted more for God. I wish I would have stretched more. Isn't it amazing how sometimes we allow fear of failure? We allow fear to keep us from stretching. The Bible says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. He that comes to God must believe that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. This is what I tell people all the time. Listen. You know the amazing thing about Christianity? Hear me this. I have 2 minutes left. Hear me carefully. You have as much of God right now as you want. You hear that? And no more. So if you're not satisfied with where you are in God, it's because that's where you what you want. But here's the good news. You can have as much as you desire. Oh, yeah. Listen to me. Hear me. Jesus said in Matthew 9, according to your faith, be it done unto you. Little goals, little faith. Big goals, big faith. I don't know about you, 2020, I've got some big goals. Anybody got some big goals? Anybody stretching their faith? Anybody go say, I refuse to live small. I refuse to settle for the less. Let me just tell you, the one thing that God got angry is because when people limited him, they questioned, can God provide a table in the wilderness? Can you imagine that? Here was people, God opened the Red Sea. God caused bread to come down from heaven. God fed them with quail. And then they get in a hard spot. And then they begin to doubt and question God, saying, can God provide a table in the wilderness? It made God angry because God said, after all I've done for you, you limit me. I like it. Just so you can write out the Bible, 78, verse 40 through 42. How often they provoked him in the wilderness. They grieved him in the day. See, when we live small lives, small thinking, limited life, we grieve the Holy Ghost. We grieve the Holy Spirit when we live such minute, small thinking. I'm telling you, listen, you need to, if you surround yourself with small-minded people, you'll never dream big goals. You got to get around people who dare to believe God, who dare to see the invisible, who dare to attempt the impossible. Listen, the people who will say, God, I believe you can do anything but fail. Anybody in here who believe God can do anything but fail? Because Jesus said, according to your faith, be it done unto you. Goals release faith. I reflected this morning on all that God did in the past year. I reflected how, you know, what he's done because we've dared to believe God. 25 years ago, in the living room of our home with no money, no building, and a handful of people, we dare to believe, God, you can build a great church. When Hurricane Katrina came with no food, no blankets, no cots, we dared to believe God. God, you can provide for thousands of people. And he did it. When the opportunity came for us to buy this property for almost $4 million, it seemed monumental. It seemed impossible. But we dared to believe God. God, I believe you can give us this whole place. And he did it. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost right now. I'm telling you, listen to me. He will do according to your faith. The Bible says, unto him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that you could ask or even think. The problem is we just think too little. We just ask too little. We just limit the Lord. As I close, I'm finished. I want to ask you a question. What are you believing God for in 2020? What are you wanting God to do in your life, in your family, in your finances, in your health? Are you limiting God? I want to tell you, I call it the three F's of goal setting. You got goals will keep you moving forward. Goals will help you stay focused. And goals will stretch your faith. Anybody here want to stretch in 2020? Let me just tell you, this was what I said. I wrote this down because I said that when we paid off, I wrote a letter to everybody. Why we want to pay the building off? Because we want to give more. We want to serve more, and we want to do more. How many want more? I said, how many want more? Listen to me. Well, I wrote this down. We're going to celebrate our 25th anniversary with the gala, and we're going to take everybody on a church cruise. About half, I believe they're excited over here. Come on. Hey! How you know God is not against celebrating? I believe we're going to celebrate. Listen to me. This is 2020. Hear what it says. You know, the most people we ever baptized was in 2013. We baptized 55 that one year. How many believe that because we believe more, I believe we're going to baptize more this year? How many believe? Come on. The most members we added to the church was back in, I think, around 2011. We added 60 in one year. How many believe God want to do more this year? The more people we had to pray and accept Christ for the first time in one year was 102. How many believe God want to do more this year? Now, are you willing to stretch your faith with me for more? Do you want to see more people get saved? Do you want to see more people become members? Do you want to see more people get baptized? Do you want to see more people serving in 2020? Then stand to your feet. We're going to believe God for more. We're going to believe God. I believe it. Listen, these are some of the things I wrote. I'm going to have an initiative this year called Loving St. John. This is an election year. Our nation has never been more polarized and divided. But I'm going to bring together the body of Christ to serve our community. We're going to find the greatest needs in our community. In 2020, we're going to love this community like it's never been loved. Somebody, come on, somebody say amen. Because a lot of our members are from the tri-parish, we're not going to limit that. We're going to love the tri-parish area. Come on, Jesus.